From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour, and we're pleased and honored to be joined by phone by Blake Young, the President and CEO of Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. Blake, good day to you.
Good day to you, Bob. Beautiful day today.
Oh, it's just never ending.
I mean, are we coming into fall, or are we just going to stay spring until May?
I know. I said that to somebody the other day. I said, it's like a beautiful spring day. I'm waiting for all the almonds to start blooming.
Well, let's just keep this weather until after Run to Feed the Hungry. What do
yes.
you think?
I think that's a great idea. You know,
it's, me too.
At least in the morning, you get a little bit of that fall chill. So you're going, okay, yep. that's nice, you know, the fresh air and everything. And then, and then by afternoon, it's summer again.
Absolutely.
Well, you've got, this is the month of November, and boy, it's closing in on you.
Well, it is, and we're excited. And, you know, I think the weather, people forget that we're actually in November, so we're trying to get the word out. We're trying to get the word out as much as possible. You know, all the events that we have are so well supported by the community. So we're just really excited. This is a really exciting time.
Tell us about the Run to Feed the Hungry, number one, the very first one. What was it like?
Well, I mean, the brainchild behind it, we know, was Father Madigan and a lot of his cadre of volunteers. And, you know, I've told this story before because there were so many people going, Thanksgiving? Are you sure no one's going to leave their house for Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
And Father Dan just had that vision. He knew that, you know, just the idea of breaking bread together and supporting the community and having this platform. I mean, we've talked about it. He thought that one day it could be, he never thought about it being this big, but he thought about it being big enough to supply some good resources for the organization and build a platform, a community platform, to really talk about these issues. Because, you know, I mean, look at the weather. We grow the most food. This state, this area, arguably is the greatest growing region in the world. We supply the world their food. However, we still have the highest food insecurity rate, higher than the national average, and higher than the state average right here in Sacramento County.
Boy, that's just, it's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It's mind-boggling. Well, I mean, cost of living, we know California's challenged with that. But Father Dan, you know, I really do believe that he thought this could be a community gathering and that the organization would stay front and center on these issues, and he was right. And so it's been such a blessing to have this event that just allows us, you know, to be able to speak about these issues.
Did Father Madigan run in the first Run to Feed the Hungry?
that's asking me if I run. I've actually never done the event just because we're so darn busy, but no, he did not.
Oh, okay. I was going to request video, but
well, let me tell you what, but don't forget, people, Father Dan still walks every day. Every single day.
He's in remarkably good shape. He really is.
Oh yeah. I'm blessed to be able to still have him around, and you know, he's proud of everything that we've done. So it's just such a great, the whole event and the whole Thanksgiving season is so great for us.
Yeah, that's, I bet he must. I know he's not a prideful man at all, but he must have just some joy, I guess would be the word, to see what this brainchild of his has become.
Well, Bob, we're just very appreciative and grateful that we were able to continue his legacy, and that's really important to me, and believe it, it's very important to the volunteers and the staff, board of directors, really important for us to maintain that legacy. Really, it's not about growth. It's about quality of programs,
right,
quality of staff, quality of volunteers, and an environment with which people can come in and feel good. So we've kept that alive for him.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, you'd love to put yourself out of business, but that doesn't quite seem to be in the cards.
Yeah, what a great statement. We've talked about that. Yeah, I mean, obviously our mission is to help folks, but reality is we would love to put ourselves out of business, because that would mean that families and children and seniors wouldn't need us. But I hate to say it, but I mean, we're as needed now as when I started almost 24 years ago.
Yeah, you know, it's such a double whammy, I guess, when people are below the poverty line, and even some of them above the poverty line that are food insecure, that when things are bad, obviously people are out of work. We kind of know what that's like, whether it's a recession or a depression. We've seen the long lines during the depression, the photos of them. But even in times of good, people on the margins get hurt because, as you say, rents are up. The cost of housing is skyrocketing. Gas is $4 a gallon. On and on and on and on. Just try go looking for a job at $4 a gallon. You know, it's hard.
Yeah, it is, and we see it every day. And, you know, for the listeners out there, I mean, you know, there isn't a normal face to hunger and poverty. I can tell you from my experience, there is the most loving families you've ever met that experience poverty. There's children that experience it, seniors that experience it. And so, I mean, that's really what drives us, is to try as best as we can to provide. And ultimately, the family services is really what makes us unique. If we can help people get out of the food line and get self-sufficient, you know, that's really what Father Dan started, and that's really how the organization really blossomed, is kind of going one step beyond the food banking and offering these types of services.
Talk a little bit about some of the other, we know that title very well, Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services. It's not just a little add-on. It's not like, well, we also do this, we put frosting on the cake. That's a really vital part of your mission.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. It is, and it's what sets us apart from other food banks. You know, the adult education, the parenting program, the children's programs, the technology and workforce programs, the refugee and immigration legal services. I mean, mm-hmm. Bishop Soto, you know, really, we're so grateful to Bishop Soto and our, you know, Catholic Charities roots, but you know, he actually had the vision to bring us the refugee and immigration legal services programs, you know, with his background in social services as well. And
right.
Those again, if for the listeners, these are beautiful people that want to contribute to this community. And, you know, for the most part, they come in, they get services for a very short period of time, and they move on, and those two programs are wonderful. They're a great part of what we're doing now, and just want to thank Bishop Soto for having the confidence in us to be able to provide those.
You know, I was just reading about the new president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, just elected last week at the meetings.
Yep.
They had in Baltimore, and it's none other than Los Angeles Archbishop Jose Gomez. And he says that immigration reform is at the top of his priority list as newly elected president of the USCCB.
Well, and we also are in connection with them for the refugee program. And, mm-hmm. and a lot of folks may not know that, you know, all the refugees that we support are special immigrant visas. These are folks that help the United States military
right
over in Afghanistan and other places, and for the most part a lot of them are well educated and they just need a hand up
right
and they move on. So you know, these are wonderful programs, and all of these programs are really designed to get people out of the food line and be contributors to our society.
Right Yeah, and we owe those people, the ones you're talking about, a great debt of gratitude for all they have done to help our efforts.
Well, I sat down with one not too long ago. In fact, really proud. He became an employee of ours, and now he's going to move on in law school.
Hmm.
Yeah, And he, you know, the stories he told me, he was a interpreter over there, but he was on the front lines with our military helping out. So it's things like that that, you know, these unique stories. It's such an honor to be able to put, you know, these stories out there so folks know that, you know, when people reach out to our organization for help, you know, our supporters might be surprised at what the face and what the families, you know, the makeup looks like. I mean, we have some of the most special people that reach out to us, and that really is, again, what drives our work.
I'm just going to make a wild guess that some of those people probably come back one day and volunteer.
Well, not only volunteer, they come back and provide financial support. No question about it.
Which is another way to volunteer, I suppose. Yeah, indeed. So somebody who's from Afghanistan, a native of that country that's coming here, what sort of services do they need that you provide?
Well, first and foremost, I shouldn't say first and foremost. So housing, English is a second language, employment, they're all eager to work. Every one of them that we've met, eager to work. We get their children into school districts, get them settled, whether it's immunization or it's whatever that is. And like I said earlier, so those are the basic services of food, of course.
Right.
But you would be surprised at how quickly they kind of disappear and, you know, kind of go off on their own and raise their families and really embed themselves in the workforce and et cetera. I mean, really quickly.
That's
really quickly.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
So are those that have come to Sacramento, are they in danger if they stayed in Afghanistan?
Great comment. Yeah, yes, they are, and that's the idea behind the special immigrant visas. They are, and they try to they get accepted under that kind of idea, and the fact that they helped the United States military or the government in general. But yes, and then their families come over, and then they kind of get absorbed into the community once they're on their feet. So it's a great story. I mean, you'd be surprised. Sacramento is a huge destination, huge.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is there a reason for that? Is the federal government have something to say about where these people are going to be relocated, or the state government? How does that work?
The state government. So there's like the United States Catholic, you know, the Conference of Catholic Bishops. That they are one of nine, I believe, that work for that process and bring them over. There's, you know, World Relief. There's lots of other ones. But again, it's I think sometimes people forget that the Catholic Charities is the largest provider of social services in the world.
Yes.
You know, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, it's you know, we don't, it's not part of our stick to pat ourselves on the back, but every now and then you kind of want to scream, you know, this Catholic Church that a lot of people are attacking nowadays, is doing an awful lot of good work out there. You'd hate to see it disappear. There'd be a lot of things missing in this society.
Yeah, that's a very good point. We do talk about it often, and you know, being a part of that team is honorable. And you know, and we're at the organization. It's an honorable profession. I mean, people that work for us are extremely proud, and it's pretty neat. And then, you know, we're able to pull off things like the run and the turkey drive and all the distribution that we do. I mean, this month, you know, is really a blessing because our staff and volunteers can really celebrate in all the work that we do.
Blake, explain. We got two or three things going on. We got the run to feed the hungry, of course, on Thanksgiving morning, but we also have the turkey drive, both the accepting of turkeys and then the distribution.
You bet. So our turkey drive is Thursday, November 21st. We're in partnership with KCRA Channel 3, and it'll run from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. We've been doing it over a decade, and we come down to our original campus, 3333 Third Avenue, and drop off a turkey. And it's just, you, Bob, you and I have talked about it a lot. It's just, it's such a great teachable moment,
right?
For parents with their children to go pick up a couple turkeys and drop them off. The kids are saying, "Hey, why are we doing this?" And
right.
That just that conversation alone is pretty special. And then the Monday after Thursday, the 21st, the 25th, we will be distributing. And the one thing to note or change in the past couple of years, well, the past 5 years, is that because we're the regional food bank now, our job is A, to provide direct client services, like we'll talk about, but it also is to supply food and turkeys, et cetera, to all the 220 agencies, many of which are Catholic Charity connected, throughout the county. So we're collecting, last year we collected north of 16,000 turkeys, and believe it or not, over 12,000 of them went to other agencies all over, from Southern Galt to Rio Vista to Folsom to all over the place. So,
wow.
So the collection, you know, the community should be really proud that collection provides Thanksgiving meals to tens of thousands of people all over our county.
So,
and then we take a deep breath, and then on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, which all of your listeners, most of have participated, is our Run to Feed the Hungry, and the gun goes off. The first 10K is at 8:15. The larger 5K, because a lot of people like to walk and
right.
Take their children and strollers, et cetera, starts at 9 o'clock, and that's just you know I'm so proud of that, just because the community has made that such a tradition, and you know there are so many people say I wouldn't miss it for the world, and I've actually met a ton of people that have done every single one, which would be 26.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is remarkable. And they all get these wonderful t-shirts that there's kind of, you know, I want to see somebody wear all 26 at the same time. That would be layering to the extreme.
Well, there's been a couple of mornings that I probably needed all 26, I'll tell you. But you know, the shirt is a big deal. I think it's people take pride in supporting our organization. You know, but there's challenges with that too, because when we operate, because it's unique, we own and operate that event. And I think sometimes people forget that while it is a very large event and is great at raising money, the cost of providing the services that we do is so great. And the need is so great out there. So, you know, I try to remind folks that while the run is awesome and it shows the organization's ability to manage and put on an event like that, it is nowhere near where we need to be able to bring enough finances in to keep, you know, the organization and the need out in the community. So while it's very successful, I think some people get the interpretation that, oh, you know, that event, you know, takes care of things for them. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful event, but the cost of providing these services are great.
Absolutely. So the nuts and bolts, Thursday, the 21st, people can drop off fresh or frozen turkeys.
Yes.
At 3333 Third Avenue.
Yes, sir.
And starting 5 a.m.?
6 a.m. to 7 p.m.
6 a.m. to 7 p.m. And then the distribution will be, for those who come to that site, will be on Monday?
Yes, they'll come Monday. There's no need to line up super, super, super early. We're going to have enough. I would say arrive anytime between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning. We will distribute the turkeys until we run out, and then we will provide information on where others can go. There is going to be approximately 80 distributions throughout the county that week. So people will be able to, that gives you another idea. We're distributing turkeys to over 80 agencies throughout the county to make sure that we're trying to be equitable on getting the turkey and Thanksgiving meals out there to the community.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just staggering, that number alone. It just in Sacramento County, that's just, it's mind-boggling to think that there's a need for that many distribution centers. I mean, it's just... It is. I mean, it's a good-sized county, but it's not massive. You know, it's just that is overwhelming to think about. And then, of course, on Thanksgiving morning, the Run to Feed the Hungry. How do people sign up for that?
Yes, thanks, Bob. Well, right now you can just go to runtofeedthehungry.com, or you can go to sacramentofoodbank.org. You can register right now, still considered early bird registration, and then our pack and pickup registration will start the Saturday before Thanksgiving at Fremont Presbyterian Church on H and Carlson Drive.
Great.
And folks for 5 days can register there.
Very, very good. I like early bird, given that it's turkey.
Well, remember, our top sponsors are called Drumsticks.
Yes, that's great.
And you can, if you can't make it to the event, you can be a drumstick dasher and sign up, and you can sit on your couch or cook your turkey, and we'll get you a shirt.
And you get a shirt. Yeah.
Yep, you bet.
And, you know, a week after the event, you can wear the shirt out Christmas shopping, and everybody thinks you ran, and you can just kind of, well, if you lie about it, you got to go to confession. But, you know. you can say, yeah, I was right there at the front. You didn't see me because I was so fast.
That's right.
Indeed. Well, Blake, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for being in the Lord's vineyard out there and doing all this great work. I know you and your staff and all the thousands of volunteers and volunteer hours. It's just making a difference in this world.
Well, you know, we're honored to do the work, and we're also thankful that Bishop Soto supports us, and being a part of Catholic Charities is also an honor. So we're just thankful and know that this time of year is our time to shine, and we're grateful for the whole community support.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to talking to you maybe in early December and getting a postmortem, and then all the things you need as we head into the new year.
Bet. Thanks for the opportunity, Bob.
Thanks, Blake. God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care. That's Blake Young, the president and CEO of Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services, and just a couple of great events coming up. But he's right. Take your kids, go to the grocery store, say, this is what we're doing. We're buying these turkeys for people who need them. It can be a fresh turkey, a frozen turkey, doesn't matter. They will get them distributed to people in need. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Bishop Wiegand. And we were fortunate to have Bishop Wiegand on a month or so ago when we were celebrating our 20th anniversary of the Bishop's Hour, because it was his idea, and he's the one that made this all happen. And it's so good to hear his voice. Meant so much to the Diocese of Sacramento when he was bishop, now Bishop Emeritus, and still very active as a bishop here. And then I know all the people at his first assignment as a bishop in Salt Lake City, the entire state of Utah, are very fond of him as well. Saturday, December 2nd, Whole Person Care and Prepare Workshop. The Office of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns and Dignity Health are hosting an end-of-life care workshop Saturday, December 2nd, 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. noon at St. Peter All Hallows Parish, right here in Sacramento. That's 5501 14th Avenue in Sacramento. Again, 9:30 a.m. to noon, Saturday, December 2nd. The workshop is open to all, but is especially tailored for bereavement and health ministers, Eucharistic ministers, and ministers to the homebound, also catechists and Respect Life ministers, Vincentian volunteers, and or caretakers. Discussion topics include church teaching on end-of-life ethics, assessing quality palliative care, hospice care, and advanced health care directives, and pastoral care at the end of life. For more information, contact John Watkins, 916-733-0254. Again, that's Saturday, December 2nd at St. Peter All Hallows Parish Hall, 5501 14th Avenue, right here in Sacramento, December 2nd, 9:30 a.m. to noon. Well, we're pleased and honored to welcome in Father Richard Cortese, National Director of the Marian Movement of Priests, who presented a wonderful conference last week. And Father, good day to you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yes, good day to you. Yes.
Appreciate you being with us. Tell us about the Marian Movement of Priests.
Well, I've been a member of the Marian Movement of Priests since I was in seminary. In 1978, I was at St. Meinrad Seminary in my senior year, which is in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And one day, two seminarians invited me to go to the Cathedral of Louisville, about an hour's drive away, to go to a cynical with a Father Stefano Gobbi. And I said, well, who is this Father Stefano Gobbi? And they said something, and I really didn't understand what they were saying, but he was going to pray the rosary. And I've always been devoted to the rosary, to our Blessed Mother, as part of my priesthood, and even in the seminary and from my home life. So I was free that afternoon and evening, so I went with them to the cathedral in Louisville. And when we got there, there was a kind of a little short, stocky, I like to say roly-poly priest in a black cassock, speaking Italian, kind of waving his arms in the way Italians do, and with a translator. And of course, we prayed the rosary. There was maybe 150 people there, and after it was over, I went up and very briefly greeted Father Gobbi with the other two seminarians. And then before we left, there was a little book. It was about a quarter of an inch thick, and it's a book entitled To the Priest, Our Lady's Beloved Sons. Hmm. Well, I took a copy of the book and went back to the seminary. And when I began to read the book, I found that my heart was just burning within me. I just knew that this was our Blessed Mother sharing with us the most tender messages profound messages and serious messages about what was going on in the church of our time and how her plan, God had given her the task of bringing about peace in our world. And the book began to unravel her plan for peace and for the triumph of her Immaculate Heart in the world. This was way back in 1978. And so since then, I have been a member of the movement. And when I was ordained in 82, I didn't have any other priests that that I knew that were a member of the movement or that wanted to form what we call a cenacle, that is to pray the rosary in the form of a cenacle, which would include prayer to the Holy Spirit, second, the five decades of the rosary, three, prayer for the Holy Father, the Pope, four, read a message from the book that Our Lady gave, messages that Our Lady gave to Father Gobi, and then end with the fifth step, the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Back in 72, in the Diocese of Memphis, for whom I was ordained, I didn't know of any other priests. And so for a number of years, I just was a member by myself. But eventually, I just got an inner desire to invite some other brother priests to join me. And so I was able to get three other priests, and we formed the first cenacle within my diocese. And since then, I've continued to do this. At the present, there are two cenacles of priests, maybe 7 to 10 members in each one. And then there's another cenacle that's maybe a little bit weaker. We have a couple of deacons, myself and another priest or two do that one. And then on occasion, I have a little cenacle with Spanish-speaking priests. That's my special ministry to the Spanish-speaking. So we have one with them on occasion, and then also on occasion one with the priests from Africa or African-American. But over the years, I have felt such support, such grace from being a part of the Marian Movement of Priests and being a part of the cenacle, which is a wonderful fraternity with the brother priests, especially to have the Marian dimension here as part of our prayer and spirituality. I could say much more, but I'll just, maybe you have some other questions, and I'll just...
Well, first off, I need the title of that book that set you on fire. I'm sure a lot of our listeners would like that title as well.
So it's called The Blue Book. It's entitled To the Priest, Our Lady's Predilect Son. To the Priest, Our Lady's Predilect Sons, or Beloved Sons. And to obtain a copy, one has to look up the Marian Movement of Priests on the website, the national headquarters, and there should be a phone number. Call that number, and the secretary, Tammy, who's very, very nice, will be happy to give a copy of the book. In return, if you have a donation, if you'd like to offer, that would help with expenses.
Very good. Very good. I'm going to do that as soon as I get off the air.
That'd be wonderful.
I want to get a copy of that book.
Well, God bless you for that. Here's also what the cenacle is about of the Marian Movement of Priests. In the messages, Our Lady begins to teach us what's going on in the church and in the world. She begins to let us know what her plans are. She opens up some of the book of Revelation and gives an interpretation to it. It's all very traditional. There's no changes in the church. We're simply to seek to be more childlike, more simple, more poor, and more evangelical in the way we live our lives, our priesthood. And it's for lay people to families. The rosary has a very important part, and so in the Marian Movement of Priests. So Our Lady speaks of the rosary as the weapon of our times. The rosary is a very small chain, but this is the weapon. It's the chain that will bind the red dragon or Satan, and eventually the rosary will cause him to lose power, lose territory, undo all his plans, and eventually, in the message, it's beautiful. It says that the ancient serpent, the devil, will be eventually reduced to being powerless. And the triumph of her Immaculate Heart will come in the world, will come at a point when it seems like Satan or the devil has conquered everything. He will feel like he's a sure conqueror of everything. Leading the world away from God, the practical atheism of our time, the tyranny of relativism that's everywhere, the pride, the desire for lust, entertainment, the desires of the flesh, the breaking of every commandment. The devil feels he's a conqueror. He's deceived the human race. But Our Lady tells us to be faithful, pray the rosary, and pray together in a cenacle, two or more. By doing this, it will be like the cenacle in Jerusalem where the disciples prayed together, it says in the first chapter of the Acts. They prayed together with Mary, the mother of Jesus, prayed together for 9 consecutive days, what we call a novena. And then on the 10th day, lo and behold, the Holy Spirit descended and the church was born. It was a marvelous gift that God gave. And so Our Lady is inviting us to re-enter the cenacle again, as in the cenacle of Jerusalem, to pray for a new Pentecost, for an outpouring of the Spirit of fire and love upon our world, upon our church, and of course, to renew the face of the earth. This is kind of the motivation for me is to follow Our Lady's request and to enter into the cenacles with the rosary in order to bring about this wonderful second Pentecost that she promises. To enter into the consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and live the consecration to her Immaculate Heart day by day. She promises to protect us, to lead us, to guide us, to bless our families as well, and again, to bring about the triumph of her Immaculate Heart in the world. Also, I should say that whenever a person makes the consecration and is faithful to the rosary, and again, they're encouraged to enter into the cenacles within their homes, within their families, at the parish level, with their pastor's permission. When they do this, then her Immaculate Heart begins to triumph. It's already a process of triumphing in the small people, and the people that are doing this, being faithful to her, that are being faithful to the church, who love the pastors, who pray for the Holy Father, the Pope, who are willing to involve themselves spiritually in their parishes, and also faithful to the rosary, and also to Jesus in the Eucharist, both in adoration and in faithfully receiving him, always in a state of grace. So to me, it's exciting. My whole priesthood, I'll be ordained this next May, 38 years. I call it 38 miracles. God's been so good to me. But through all of these years, I know that Our Lady has protected me and helped me to be a good priest. I remember one of our bishops, he was the only one that talked this way to me. He'd look at me and he said, "Richard, you're a good priest." And, you know, that made me feel so good. But I know it was Our Lady helping me to be a faithful and a good priest. So I would encourage all our brother priests to consider this, being a member of the Marian Movement of Priests. It seems like maybe devotion to Mary, maybe there's a lot of misunderstanding around it. But I think with, for example, Pope St. John Paul II, St. Pope Benedict, now Pope Francis, there's a constant urging to move back to devotion to Mary. We truly are not only children of God in Holy Baptism, which is awesome, but when we make our consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we also become children of Mary, as Jesus was. sons and daughters of Mary, Mother of God and Mother of the Church, in heaven, I like to think we'll be more like a family. Amazingly, we will have a Father who loves us. And we do have a Father. We call him our Father. And we will have a Mother who loves us, the Mother of the Divine Son of God, Jesus Christ. We call her Mary. She will be our Mother in heaven. And even now, when we turn to her, she is truly our Mother. She's always our Mother at all times. But when we entrust ourselves or consecrate ourselves to her Immaculate Heart, she takes that seriously, and she begins to form us and help us to grow. She puts graces in our hearts and souls, in our minds, and in our lives. She protects and watches us. She guides us. And so these are some reasons why, to me, the Marian Mother of Priests has been really a lifesaver. It's been like coming home to the traditional church, the church, going back to the 60s, that's the church I grew up in. It's still the Church of Vatican II, but it's a church that loves its Father and loves its Mother, and we have one Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. So maybe those are some thoughts to consider for those who maybe are interested in the Mary Moon of Priests. Maybe if they have heard about it, but didn't really ever read the messages in the book, to her, Our Lady speaks to her beloved sons or predilect sons. Maybe you'd like to go back and reread it and see if you feel like I did, where your heart begins to burn within you. Father, also for families as well.
Father, I greatly appreciate your time, and you have certainly inspired me, and I know you've inspired a lot of our listeners, and I am going to order that book today. So
that's great. Well, just a pleasure to talk with you, and I really appreciate you taking the time to interview me on this, and I pray it will bear fruit, and I ask our blessed Lord to bless you and Our Lady, especially to hold you, your family, and your loved ones in her Immaculate Heart.
Thank you so much, Father. God bless.
God bless you now. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
It's Father Richard Cortese, who is the national director of the Marian Movement of Priests. Oh, inspiring guy. Wow. I'm going to get that book. Jennifer Campbell joins us.
Hi.
Jennifer, you heard the last part of that interview.
I did.
He just is going to set the world on fire. It's wonderful. One of the best parts of this job is interviewing people who are so passionate about what they do, so passionate about our faith, so passionate. And he turned off my microphone and just listened.
Yes.
Know, because he, the Blue Book, the messages from the Blessed Mother, I'm going to order it as soon as I get off the air.
I think you better.
I'll share it with you.
Okay, perfect.
Very good. Well, Jennifer Campbell joins us in
yes.
person.
In person.
Talking about patients. You had to have some patients here because you were scheduled about 10 minutes ago.
I sure was, but
yeah.
That's okay.
It's good.
I'm here to talk about Patients, which is a retreat that the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministry is hosting in December, on December 7th. It's a Advent retreat for youth and young adult ministry leaders, and we are using a very broad definition of a youth and young adult ministry leader.
Are you including me in that?
I am including you in that.
Okay.
I am including anyone who works with or has prayed for or would like to work with our young people in the church as a youth ministry and young adult ministry leader.
Does it count that I take my kids to Mass?
It definitely counts.
You are definitely
a youth minister.
Very good. Okay.
That would be the definition of youth minister.
I may put that on my business card.
You should, because
yeah, okay.
I think getting your kids to Mass is sometimes...
four teenagers
can be a struggle that I don't have a reference for, but I'm sure that it can be fun. So, yes, you are a youth minister. You are welcome to join us for this retreat.
Very good.
We have some great speakers, musicians coming to lead us in our retreat. So Sarah Hart, who many of you probably know, just open your organ press
Oregon Press. Yeah.
Yeah. Hymnal. And you will find at least one song by her. And then the other person who's coming with her is PJ Anderson. Mm-hmm. He is also a musician. They're both based out of Nashville, I believe. I know she is. I don't know if he is.
Where you're supposed to be if you're a musician.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're doing a tour in California for Advent this year. And we are one of their stops on their tour, concert tour. They're going to do it, lead us in a retreat all day. Yes, they're a featured musician. So if you have seen any of our promotional things, it says musicians, but they are actually going to be the speakers and leading us through the retreat as well.
Saturday, December 7th.
We are going to be hosting it at the Sacramento Newman Center. I don't remember the address, but if you just
5900.
Thank you.
Newman Court
In Sacramento.
Right across from Sac State.
So we'll be hosting it there. It's going to start at 10 and we're going to go till 7. Your registration fee will include lunch and dinner. And we will be having mass throughout during the weekend or the day. Sorry, it's just a day retreat. We'll be having mass during the day. And it should be a great opportunity to come together with other people who work and care about young people in our church, and to give yourself just that day to reflect as we are. It'll be towards the beginning of Advent. Really, it's the first, or it's going to be the second Sunday of Advent.
Right.
Very, very close. And just something, Advent is all about waiting. So it's why the theme we went with was this year was patience. Mm-hmm. We are patiently waiting for Christmas. So.
Yeah. Well, and if you haven't heard Sarah Hart and PJ Anderson, you're in for a treat.
Definitely. Sarah Hart is one of my favorite musician speakers to just be in the presence of. Her music is beautiful, but also her message of hope is inspiring. So I'm very excited that she'll be joining us for this day.
Wow. How do we get so lucky to get these people? Are they hard to get?
You know, yes and no. Sometimes it's hard to get the dates, you know, correct. Like the dates we have in mind with the dates that fit in their schedule, that can be complicated. But I think that we have been really blessed in our diocese with speakers who have come, and then, you know, they're people that we have over the years become friends with, and so they always want to come back to Sacramento. People like to come and visit the people in our diocese, so we've been really, really lucky in that way. And I just think there's just a plethora of wonderful speakers out there who want to share their faith, and they've turned it into, you know, their livelihood as well, but they want to share their faith with anyone who is going to, you know, who needs to be there. So we've been really lucky, I guess.
Again, it's Saturday, December 7th.
Yeah.
And 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Sacramento Newman Center, 5900 Newman Court, just across the street from Sacramento State University. And if they'd like you to register by November 27, that's the day before Thanksgiving, a Wednesday, go to scd.org/patience-retreat.
Mm-hmm.
I never know a backslash from a forward slash. I can't tell them apart. They look like twins to me.
I don't know.
They just slash.
And if you have any questions, you can feel free to email me. And my email address is jcampbell, and Campbell is spelled just like the soup, at scd.org. Just email me if you have questions.
Very good. Very good. Now,
yes.
Since we have you here.
Yes.
And you're not going to get to leave.
Okay.
Until the show's over.
Yes.
Please stay.
Okay, no problem. I got you.
You're free to leave, but we prefer you stay.
Okay.
Camp Pendola, you're still hiring?
I am still hiring.
It's only November. And camp isn't until June.
Right, but we start early because it takes a while to get everyone hired and everything.
You're not going to be caught unawares.
No. That's not my plan. I like to plan ahead. So yeah, we are in the middle of hiring right now. We have a few positions hired already, some of our leadership positions, but we are looking for counselors, guys and girls over 18, graduated from high school, interested in spending their summer up in the woods, and want to work with young people. So if you are thinking of going into a career in teaching, this might be a great opportunity for you, just to see what it's like to work with kids and be in charge of your own small group.
Thinking of being a teacher.
Thinking about going into teaching. If you just, you know, want to try it out. You like working with kids? Yeah, this would be the job for you.
What's the time commitment?
So the time commitment is we have start with training on June 7th, and we'll go, camp will go until August 16th. We have we end with a special event. And if you need vacation, we're fairly flexible. So if you need to take a week off in between that, we work around that as long as, you know, the whole staff doesn't ask for the same week off,
right?
which has happened. But so we're very flexible with the scheduling. So if you need to, you know, be gone for a wedding or family vacation, sure, we can work around that. It's not a problem.
That's good to know, because I think a lot of people go, oh yeah, but we're supposed to do this, you know.
Yeah, we get a lot of we'll hear that often, and we can usually work with people's schedules, very flexible about it, because, you know, we just want people to have this experience. Like, our goal is for the young people in our diocese to get to come up to camp and have that experience of camp. And so, you know, any way we can make that happen for people, we will.
And this is not, these are not volunteer positions.
No, this is paid.
You're paying them real cash money.
Pay them real cash money. It's a weekly salary, and it varies from position to position. So I don't want to say what it is over the radio, but
I've heard it, and it's decent. I mean,
it's a decent salary. Yeah, it's
especially if you're 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah, and the thing that's great with camp is that you don't, because it's such a remote place, unless, you know, you use the staff computer to do a lot of Amazon shopping, which a few of my staff last summer did. If you're doing that, but otherwise there's nowhere to spend your money. So your food and everything is covered by camp. So, you're
up
there.
I'd like to see the Amazon truck come in that dirt road.
It comes in. It's great. I mean, that's how I order a lot of our supplies, because I can get them, you know, the next day.
Sure.
And really we can get them the next day up at camp. So parents, if you're sending your kid to camp and you want to send them a care package, non-food care package, Amazon Prime is the best.
Wow.
I can promise you that. So, and I don't say much about, like, delivery, mail and stuff. It takes some time to get up to camp. But, yeah, no, we're excited. We're excited to get some new staff up there and see what happens.
How much new staff do you have each year?
I would say it's between – it's about 75% of the staff are new. Some people come up, they do a summer, and they're, like, one and done. Some people, you know, just become camp lifers. Like Miss Catella, who was on with me a couple months ago, she is a lifer. She loves camp so much. And other staff, you know, one or two summers, and then it doesn't fit their schedule, or if they have internships and things like that. That's the other thing, is we can work with your school. If you need an internship, we can work with your school and make your camp position an internship.
So other than camp, and I don't know if all these positions are open, but other than, okay, you have counselors, and we kind of have an idea what a counselor would do, but you have a director, you have to have a cook or two, right?
Yes.
What are other positions? I'm trying to imagine. You have probably some janitorial service.
Well, so most of our staff, we do all of the things. We do all of the things. So, so as a director, like, not above cleaning a toilet, and we will often have to teach staff to clean toilets. So, so staff do all of, we do janitorial. All of the counselors do that. They each take turn in the kitchen. But like on our leadership team, it's more specialized. So we have our kitchen manager, we have a health center manager, we have an assistant director, and then myself. And then new this year, we're starting a specialist team. So for lack of a better way to describe it, it's like middle management position. And there's six of them. So one is going to be our head counselor. So they'll be in charge of really bringing our themes to life. Mm-hmm. We will have a archery specialist. That's self-explanatory, I think.
With archery, you hope it's a specialist.
Yes, yeah. Archery specialist. We'll have a teen leadership program specialist, a arts and crafts specialist, a trips specialist, and then a teen leadership program specialist. So someone who will just be in charge of our new or revised SILT program, which is campers in leadership training. So for our freshmen and sophomores. And then CITs, which is counselors in training, which is our juniors and seniors who would like to move on to be a counselor when they graduate.
So How can people contact you?
So they can contact me, my email address, which I shared just a minute ago, which I'll say again. And then go to our website, which is just pendola.org. Mm-hmm. And if you employment, yes. You'll find it.
Very good.
But if you just go to the homepage and click on employment, you'll find it. It's pretty.
If you go to the homepage, you can't find it. Maybe you're not going to be a good counselor.
possibly, yeah. It's pretty bold. It's pretty big up there. So,
and it's PENDOLA.
It sure is.
A family from that area.
It is a family from that area.
They donated the land.
They did.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever known a Pendola in my whole life.
I have met a few now.
Have you? Yeah, but yeah.
Now I've met a few. We actually do a mass every summer, which gets scheduled with Bishop Soto, mm-hmm. and in memory of Frank Pendola, who's the land was donated.
Right.
And now his wife recently passed in 2016, Dolores, who, strong-armed her brother-in-law to get the land donated, because that's what women do. And so it's in memory of her as well.
Very good. Well, they were a great, great family.
Yes, for
indeed.
Sure.
Jennifer, as always, pleasure to see you. Thanks so much for all you do.
Thanks, Bob.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Hi, I'm John McGinnis, retired sheriff of Sacramento County, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just. have I been given through Christ crucified?